morning's message is deliverance. It makes a difference in our life. Don't we want to be different for Christ? Don't we want to be someone that's set apart from the world? Problem is we're human, and we create habits, and we are creatures of habit. We go through the same routines over and over and over, and we form patterns in our life. A lot of times that happens in our spiritual walk, is we form patterns. You know, we want to do good, and it seems like we fall into a sin, and we repent of that sin, and we do good for a while, and we commit a sin, and we repent of that sin, and we just form these habits, these patterns in our own lives. There was a man one day standing on the shore of Niagara Falls, and he was observing these little birds coming down and flying into get a drink of water. Time after time, these little birds would swoop down. But he noticed something, that each time a little bird would swoop down, a little bit of ice would form on his wings. Eventually, after several times coming down to get a drink of water, the bird could not fly back up. And it ended up going over the falls. Christian, I want you to know that we are like those little birds. We keep going and dabbling in a little bit of sin. Just a few little things in our life get cluttered up. But we keep on and keep on. Before you know it, it's a stronghold in our life, and we can't fly away from it. And we go over the edge. And we live a life that is in defeat, a life that seems like we can't find our purpose, a life that we seem like God is so far away from us. And all the time, we've accumulated sin in our life. And the Holy Spirit is calling us for repentance. This morning, wouldn't we like to break that cycle? Wouldn't we like to break that cycle in our life where these patterns of sin keep forming up that we do? Wouldn't we like to break that cycle? If you have your Bible this morning, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. So Brother Kevin, we just finished the book of Romans. Oh, yeah, but we're going back. This is a message that I shared in men's conference a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to tell you, probably one of the most powerful messages that God has ever given to me personally, but also one that we can share as a church. Right. True deliverance in our life from sin. True deliverance. How to live free in Christ. Says when sin is present in our lives, we create our own personal culture of denial. How many Christians are walking today defeated, deflated, feel like there's nothing going on in their life and don't know where God's leading them, and they're so discouraged because they know they want to live a holy life, they want to live a godly life, but they have no clue how to do it. Romans chapter 6. Beginning verse 1 through verse 14, Paul writes this to the Christians, and the church says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? Or don't you know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. If we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died, He died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you may obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Father God, I pray today, as we look at your word, God, hit us all. Lord, we're not aiming for toes. Lord, we're going straight to the soul, Father, with this message. God, let us realize where we are with you, each person, man, woman, child. Let us each realize that, God, maybe we've created patterns in our life of defiance and rebellion, self-will. Father, I pray today that you break that from us, that we can truly live in freedom in you, in Christ's name. Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, I believe the holier a man becomes, the more he mourns over the unholiness which remains in him. See, we're all called to live this holy life, a righteous life. And if we're honest, this concept really is kind of vague to us. It's kind of foreign to understand. Scripture tells us to live godly lives. Yet we feel like it's really beyond our ability. And it is beyond our ability, personally, in our own strength. So we often use grace as a crutch to excuse our lack of power and discipline to live a godly life in Christ. We're creatures of habit, and we get into these patterns of thinking and these patterns of behavior that lead to strongholds of sin in our life. So let's evaluate this pattern, which most Christians find themselves in an attempt to live for Christ. There are patterns that we all go through. I've been doing this for a long time, and I see it in my own life, and I know it's in your life. It's patterns that we go through. We go through it and go through it and go through it because we don't know any other way. And maybe we just don't trust God enough. The first thing we see is this pattern of self-reliance, that we really rely on ourselves to live this Christian life for us. We're not really like, we say we rely on God, but that's all words. That's our holy talk. That's our religious talk. But in the truth of the matter is, from Monday through Sunday, we're living it on our own. We rely on ourselves to make all the decisions. We rely on ourselves to get ourselves out of these situations, whatever it may be. We mouth off. We say all kinds of things that we shouldn't say. We think all kinds of things that we shouldn't say because we're relying on ourselves to do better. See, strongholds form in our life when we demand control over our lives and depend on personal willpower to live out our faith. We see in verse 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We're those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? See, the Holy Spirit's task is to reveal to self to each believer. The Holy Spirit's job is to really reveal who you are to you. It's to reveal me to me. Let me tell you what, when you have that meeting with the Holy Spirit and you say, Lord, show me me, it's not a pretty picture. See, self is that old nature that thrived on fulfilling selfish desires, regardless of who it hurt, what it cost, or the depth of sin it allowed. When you were saved, you were made new. See, our sins have been paid for by Jesus at Calvary's cross. We are children of God. Verse 5 tells us, if we have been united with him at his death, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 11 says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. See, we're united with Christ. We're baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're sealed to the day of redemption when Jesus returns. Yet we do not continuously surrender ourselves over to the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, and we try to take control back over our lives. We simply push the Holy Spirit aside. Say, I've got this, God. Life is going good. I've got this. And we dismiss the Holy Spirit and we just kind of push him aside. I know where you're at when I need you. Pride takes over and we begin living this life as best we think we know how. It's from this self-reliance that we live in this life we call a Christian life in this world. And we only tell God that we need his help from time to time. See, a sure sign that we're trying to be self-reliant is when our prayer life comes almost to a screeching halt. When we're not spending time talking with God, we're not really seeking his face other than praying around a meal, our little snippet of a prayer. If we're not really spending time with God, you know who's in control of your life? You. This cuts through the chase. We're relying on ourselves. We get into this pattern of living and dealing with Jesus, dealing with the world, and dealing with our sinful nature, and it keeps resurrecting in our lives. See, these old desires, those old feelings, that old selfishness comes to life because we're relying on ourselves, and we're simply too weak to resist those sinful desires. So what does this pattern of self-reliance look like for believers? What does this really look like? We're creatures of habit. This is a pattern that we get into. The first thing is this. We begin to rely on ourselves. The first thing that begins to creep up is corruption from our heart. It begins to seep out. Corruption from our heart begins to seep out. See, the heart is the source of indwelling sin that springs into a person's life experiences. James chapter 1 tells us this in verse 14 to verse 15. He says, but each one of us is tempted when we're carried away and enticed by our own lust. Then when lust is concealed, has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. The heart. Scripture says this about the heart. Denotes it as being this place of understanding, and it is our will. It is our mind or our affections. It's sometimes called the conscience or the whole soul of a person and all of its faculties. The heart is understood to be the core of our principal operations. So we're saved. Those first few weeks are good, man. Man, we're saved. We're born again. All that old load of sin we had, Jesus has forgiven us. We're set free, and we feel like new creatures. Man, we want to run around the church. Everybody at work, we want to say, bless you, man. We want to have a good day. We want to pray for people. Everything's going wonderful. Our language is beginning to change. Our thought patterns begin to change because we are on a mountaintop with Jesus. Everything's beautiful from the mountaintop. God gave us mountains so we could stand there and enjoy his beauty and creation and test our faith. See, the challenge of our faith walk of righteousness begins when we descend the mountaintop into the valley of life where the journey is really difficult. You see, we're not always on the mountain. Jesus didn't save us to stay on the mountaintop. We have to live life, and there are some valleys that we go through. There are death that we encounter. There are people that we love. There's disappointments. There's job losses. There's changes and all these things going on. That's life. Get used to it. So we're not always up here. We have to deal with life. And that's when we want control. See, our natural human inclination is to take control. We push God aside and we become self-reliant. We tell God by our attitude and by our actions, we got this. This self-reliance opens the door for this old nature to come alive. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Why would someone ever want to go through life following their feelings? The Bible says it's desperately deceitful. Different message. Maybe this morning you realize, listen, that you've been relying on yourself and only asked for God's help to deal with life's problems. You've been in control, and now you and God both know that you've been struggling in areas of your life that are corrupted with a sinful stronghold. Listen, it's okay to admit that you have a sinful stronghold in your life, but let's be real, God doesn't want it there. Too many Christians are denying that there's anything there because they want to save face with everybody else. And God knows the truth. God knows the truth. Here's how sin exerts itself in our daily lives. So we rely on self. That old sinful nature comes to life. And the next thing is we have this consistent thought pattern of sin. This sinful thought pattern. It's consistent. So our mind begins to think of the things that we'd like to do or like to see or like to take part in. And our thought pattern, it begins to consume the way that we think. See, as creatures of habit, our thoughts develop patterns where fantasies, those desires come to life. So we can visualize and assimilate sounds and motions and smells and feelings to accommodate our personal mental theater. We put it all into play. What has your thought patterns been like lately? What's been heavy on your mind? See, God has blessed us with this amazing, very powerful brain that can assimilate knowledge and sights and pictures and smells and all of those things to create a moving image, either for good or for not so good. If we allow our minds to wander there. See, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Listen, when we are self-reliant, when we are in control, we that old nature will resurrect, that old nature will come back alive. And what does it do? It says it sets our minds on things of the flesh. So what it's going to do is start patterning in out the things that we're very comfortable, things that we like, those desires. So our patterns of thinking changes. Sinful thought patterns and ponderings are not good enough, though. So it begins to set this motion toward the things that we want, but not only are we visualizing, not only are we hearing them and smelling and we're talking about them now, we begin to act out on them. Because that's just not good enough for the old nature. And we're relying on ourselves, so we're not relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to get us out of it. We're relying on self. What does self want to do? Fulfill selfishness. Third thing we see is we begin compromising our attitude. This compromising attitude develops. See, a compromising attitude begins to erode boundaries that we had once established to keep us from wandering into dangerous territory. The things gaining influence in our inner man begin to impact and conduct the way we conduct our lives. Boundaries that once established to keep us above reproach can begin to get weak and develop holes or even crumble through our own selfish demolition. We begin to dismantle those boundaries or ignore those boundaries. We begin to cross over and we allow them to get weak. Listen, does it happen automatically? No, it happens over time. We begin to question, well, you know, it's not so bad to talk to that person. Well, it's not so bad if I do just a little bit of this, just a little bit of that. Romans 13, 14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust." The Bible is warning us, listen, don't go there. Do not put your boundaries down. Do not obey that pattern of thinking that's come alive. See, the self-reliant Christian awakens the corruption in the heart to grow stronger in the mind, to affect our attitude toward our behavior and opportunities to sin. See, Christians, listen, do you have a compromising area in your life? Let's be real. There's so many distractions in the world that can push a weakness in our lives. This cell phone. Listen, a very, very powerful tool. It can be a tool for good or a tool for evil. This that we all have. Some of us are using it for our Bible this morning. You see, it can call our children. It can call our best friends. It can call at work. We can use it for business. We can send texts to people that we love. We can send pictures. We can take pictures. All these wonderful things we can do for it. We can do research on it. We can do great and wonderful things. But you know also we can gamble on it. You know also you can look up pornography on it. You can watch videos and pictures that may not be pornographic, but they just as soon be. You can watch all kinds of stuff and all kinds of vile stuff, music videos that are pornographic just by the language. We can defile our minds and our bodies with junk that comes across this. And we all have one. And you know what? We can even put keys on it to lock everybody else out. Listen, husband, wives, if you lock your husband or your wife off your phone, that breaks trust. You cannot build trust if you're locking them out of the most powerful tools in your life. You want to keep trust? Give them a password and have access to it. You'll build trust. Self-reliant Christian. Listen, are you compromising your boundaries? Has your attitude softened towards sinful desires? A self-reliant Christian begins to energize his old nature where the source of evil desires abide. His sinful heart develops patterns of corruption and impure thoughts where he begins to change his attitude and he mentally negotiates and compromises boundaries. And then the end result is this pattern is the fourth thing. We commit sin against God. See, the destiny of relying on self to guard our life and to guide our life is that we blaze a trail towards sin. So we're relying on ourselves to guide us through this life, to avoid sin, to live a godly life. And we the first thing what happens is the old nature begins to come up. We start listening to music we shouldn't listen to. We start singing things we should. We start watching things we shouldn't watch. And we just corrupt it a little bit more, just feed it a little bit more. And we begin to think in patterns that fulfill the lust that it has. And then we put boundaries down. And when those boundaries are down, we begin to negotiate ourselves into places that we, into opportunities that we should not take. And we step over our boundary. We're exactly where the devil wants us then. And we commit sin. And that's always the destiny of a believer trying to rely on himself. The destination of a rebellious heart of a self-reliant Christian is the solid impact of sin. Sin has taken the root, and its toxins begin to poison every area of our lives. The same pattern is repeated time and time again when a believer is given way to the faulty logic that he can rely on himself to live out his walk with God. Now the self-reliant Christian is bearing this heavy burden of actually committing the sin. So we went from God, I've got it, to, oh Lord, look what I've done. And we have this heavy burden. The guilt and shame seem to be unbearable. We hope nobody else knows. But God knows. See, the guilt is there. We struggle with justifying our sin and try to hide it from God, and especially from other people, because we care more about what other people think about us than what God thinks about us. But then the second part of this cycle begins. We're creatures of habit. There's patterns that form. So we see when we begin with a self-reliant attitude, all the things that happen, and we commit sin. But then we go to church, Sunday in and Sunday out, and the Holy Spirit's convicting us. So the second part begins. Confession, but without lasting change. You see, in our confession and repentance, it's quite common for believers to address the symptoms of sin, not the source of sin. Let me repeat that, because you want to write that down. in our repentance, in our confession, it's very, very common that we address the symptoms of our sin rather than the source of our sin. Verse 12 and 13 of Romans 6 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you do not, that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. As creatures of habit, we form patterns that lead toward, you know, lead toward sin, but also that lead toward repentance. So we have this habit that we go through even in repenting. The first one is this: we're convicted by the Holy Spirit. Now listen, this is genuine. The Holy Spirit gently prompts us to repent of our sins, and He urges us to change. The Holy Spirit allows us to feel this weight of disappointment and shame, and we have been, that we brought upon ourselves, and He allows remorse to grow in us to help us grasp the severity of our destructive nature of sin. The Holy Spirit allows us to feel the sting, to feel the pain that sin causes. He wants us to understand, this is why you don't go into sin. He lets us feel those consequences. The Holy Spirit gently begins to soften our heart to repent and to change. The second thing we do, we confess and we repent of our sin. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we go to God with brokenness over our sin, and we truly want to live better. We desire to be holy and to live a godly life filled with His righteousness. We all have intentions to get it right this time. We realize what we've done wrong, so we want to get it right. We're released to sin. We're released from the sin and our burden, and we feel clean before God because we truly repented, and we tell God, I'll never do it again. John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But what we're repenting of is the symptoms of what's really going on. The third thing we do, we commit to change. We really commit to change. We've confessed, and boy, we start making God a whole bunch of promises. We commit to change. See, for most, we've fallen into this idea that if we simply replace old habits with new habits, and with God's help, we can have victory. Because that's probably most of the preaching that you've heard. You stop doing this and start doing this, everything will be okay. So if you stop getting drunk and you start doing this, you'll be okay. Well, drunkenness is just the symptom of something else going on in your heart. You stop doing drugs and you start doing this, you're all right with God. Everything's good. If you don't address the sin that caused you to start using drugs, you miss the point.
Man, that's right.
You miss the point. You see, we're at a crossroads here. Do we address our attitude and our behaviors and our thought patterns for change? Or do we truly seek to change the source of the sin problem that we habitually fall into? We usually address the symptoms of sin and avoid the root that has been spreading and growing into a stronghold into our life. We're sorry for all the things we've done, and we stop right there. And listen, that's short of really addressing the issue that's going on in our soul. We have great intentions. We're forgiven, and we do sense the desire to be righteous, holy people of God. So we make new commitments to do better. So we start listing out some things that we will not do anymore and things that we will do differently. Maybe people that we'll avoid, situations we'll avoid. We make this list and promise to ourselves and promise to God, promise to someone else. But let's be real, church. We've all been there. We soon find ourselves weary from doing the new commitment to change. And we slowly begin to function as the controller all over again. We went from relying on ourselves, and we saw the old nature come up, and our patterns begin to, our thought patterns begin to go toward those old selfish and sinful desires. We begin to compromise our boundaries. We commit sin. The Holy Spirit's convicting us. We confess that sin to God. We repent of it. We make a new commitment to not to ever do that again. And so we start all these new things. 6 weeks later, we're tired of doing the new things. You know why we're tired of doing the new things? Because we've never addressed the sin problem. We've only addressed the symptoms. Well, we feel better about ourselves, so we tell God to take a break. We tell God to take a break again. And we go back right back into that same old pattern. We commit to do good things, but we're still trying to do them in our own power. We're only wanting a boost from the Holy Spirit. And we find ourselves drifting back down the same old familiar pathways of self-reliance, and the cycle of living with a sinful stronghold begins the same pattern again. How do we break this cycle of sinful strongholds in our life? How do we get set free from the sin and not just the symptoms? The third thing we see is deliverance by means of dying to self. See, the struggle to defeat sin is not with better living techniques. Rather, deliverance is through dying to self for Christ to live in us. You don't defeat sin. You die to sin. Let that burn in for a moment. You don't defeat sin. You die to sin. You see, sin is not defeated and overcome in our lives, in our own efforts. See, sprinkling in the Holy Spirit's help a little bit here and there. Think about it. We didn't call out to God to help us be saved. No, we called out to Christ for us to be saved, for Him to save us, to fall under His grace, because we couldn't save ourselves. Well, if we couldn't save ourselves, how in the world can we think we can live this Christian life in our own power, just with God's help? How do we think we can do it? We can't. We must die to self, our self-governing, self-determined, self-reliant mindset, and nail our sin to the cross of Christ. Jesus has already done what we're struggling and failing to do. Jesus has already done it for us. We just have to die with it. I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about a death to the sin, to the selfishness. See, Romans 6:6 says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with Him." You can underline that in your Bible. "Crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin must be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who's died has been set free from sin." Verse 12 tells us, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires." The key to breaking the cycle of sin in our lives is to embrace the fact that you and I died on the cross with Christ, and now He lives in us. Listen, that's not heavy on religiosity. That's just a plain Jane, simple truth. The flesh will only submit to the cross of Christ, not to all the resolutions and commitments we make at a worship service or a conference or a revival or a camp. The flesh will only submit to the cross. It will not submit to any self-effort, not to any self-denial, only co-crucifixion with Christ Jesus. Only when we understand what Jesus has really done, that he took the power out of the sin. He nailed my sin to the cross. He nailed your sin to the cross. We have no right to live with sin in our life. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The question comes down to this simple reality. Are you trying to live a self-reliant Christian life or a crucified Christian life where Jesus lives in you and through you? Jesus says, unless a kernel of seed or wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. He says that in John. This little seed I have in my hand, this little red bean. I know somebody in here says, go cook some rice. Inside of this little red bean has all the food, all the DNA, all the genetics, everything it needs to live. But this little seed will not live unless it first dies. You see, this little seed has to be planted. And all the things, all the ground, the sun, the water, everything breaks that hard seed coat for protection, breaks it down. And me begins to emerge roots, and the little shoot begins to come up. And then you have a plant, and a plant that makes more little red beans. See, Jesus is referring to himself having to die. When he died, that we could live. Christian, I want you to understand that same implication stands for us. Unless we die to self, we can never live in the fullness of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We can never thrive in Jesus. We'll always want to take control unless we die to self. Are you saved? Are you born again? You call Jesus your Savior. He forgave you. You're born again, but you're not really living. And Jesus died to set you free from the very sin that has a stronghold in your life right now. Are you struggling with this cycle of self-reliance that you get a little overconfident till you start to want control over again? Rest assured, every believer has done it. Key is dying to that sin. A few weeks back, God broke me. Brought my kids to school. I was coming to work. I was in my pattern, you know. I went back home. And I knelt by my bed. It was 30 minutes or more, I guess. I just talked to God. I cried. I just poured out to him. Just a stronghold. I knew it, and God knew it. God knew what it was. Listen, I had to die to it. And I'm your pastor. If strongholds can get in my life, it can get in yours too.
It's true.
And nobody else has to know, but God knows. And until you're willing to die to yourself, to your ego, to the things that you're holding on to. Listen, what sin is it in your life that you're just holding on to? You've maybe become numb to it. Is it gossip? Is it greed? Is it lust? Is it jealousy? What is it? You see, you may be repenting for all the symptoms that it's causing, but you've never addressed the real reason. Because why? You're scared because it'll force you to live a different way than what you've gotten comfortable with. And when it forces you to live a different way, now you have to rely on God every day to live this Christian life. Let me tell you what, it's been the most freeing thing in my life as a believer. Where I just said, God, I can't do this anymore. Whew. Will you this morning not make a new commitment, not make a new promise of resolution, not make a new self-effort. Matter of fact, we just quit trying so hard. Just be crucified, Christ, on his cross. Die to yourself. Die to that sin. Talk with God. Miles Standford said, it is a man who is conscious of his own impotence as a believer who will learn that by the Holy Spirit he can lead a holy life. Church, I'm telling you, when we get serious about God, he'll break that sin pattern in your life. He'll break that. When you die to it, and all it takes is you going before God and say, God, here I am. And you name exactly what it is. God, I know this has a hold on me. And God, it's been there for 40 years, 20 years, 30 years. I know it is. And God, right now I surrender it to you. God, I die. You already paid the price for it. But I have been holding on. And its roots have gotten into my soul, Lord. I give it to you. Root it out, God. He'll do it. And every day, when I say be filled with the Spirit, die to it every day. Because if you don't, you'll become very self-reliant again, and you've done nothing. God's not looking for you to make a new commitment. He's looking for you to die to self so that he can live in you. Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, I just thank you for your church. God, I'm so sorry that we get it wrong. We get into our own religious mindset. God, we address so many symptoms and never the sin. Father, I pray your people today will be serious and address the sin. Your name we pray. There's sermon notes to this message on all the, as you walk out to all the tables. So blanks are already filled in. I pray that you take this home.